Great to have you along for Garden Talk here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, it's been a pretty warm fall so far, but the colder weather is certainly coming. And next up, we're going to be talking about extending your growing season despite the colder temperatures with our guest, Sean Kuhn. He is the co-founder of Vitruvian Farms. It's a certified organic vegetable and mushroom farm located just outside McFarland. And we'll get his advice on extending the growing season. We'll talk about what he grows on the farm and, of course, take your vegetable questions. So what do you want to know about extending your growing season? Do you have questions about varieties to grow? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Sean Kuhn, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
You have a very interesting story about how you got involved in farming, I understand. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, sure. Well, my business partner, Tommy, and I met randomly in college, and just out of curiosity, we started learning about how modern-day food is produced, and essentially, the more we started learning, the more we started becoming concerned about the amount of pesticides and herbicides that are being used, the treatment of farm animals, soil loss that's happening in modern-day agriculture, and so we both kind of veered off our originally intended college, after college plans. And we decided we just wanted to help be part of the change. And so we decided to start a farm.
And you started an organic farm, which probably didn't just start right from scratch. I mean, you had to do some things to make it a certified organic farm.
Yeah, you have to follow organic principles for at least 3 years before you can become certified. But we essentially started growing with organic practices right from the beginning.
Yeah. What are some problems you encountered going from the idea to being open for business?
I would definitely say just having neither Tommy nor I grew up on family farms. So learning how to grow food was probably the biggest challenge that we've faced. And one of the biggest challenges with growing food is you have to work with Mother Nature. Year to year, you never know what you're going to get. And working with the unexpected, with whatever Mother Nature gives you, is probably the most challenging thing that we've done.
Yeah, Mother Nature. And then the pandemic, I don't know, that must have affected your business model. And
yeah, so
what'd you do to get
when the pandemic started? We got into farming and we started selling wholesale. We sell wholesale vegetables and mushrooms to about 60 different restaurants and groceries in the Madison area, a couple in the Milwaukee area. And at the time when the restaurants were looking to close, about 80% of our sales were wholesale to restaurants. So we had kind of an existential crisis where we were growing all this food and we didn't know how we were going to sell it. And so at that time, we actually came up with a home delivery service. So we launched an online store that still operates today. And you can go to our website and you can buy locally grown food from us and from a ton of other local producers and makers in the Dane County, Wisconsin area. You can have it delivered straight to your door on Wednesdays and Saturdays every week.
That's amazing. Or just show up at the farm and you can purchase there.
Absolutely. So something we're pretty excited about is we just opened a brand new farm store. We built a building last year and we opened a farm store right on site. And like I said before, with the online store, everything that we sell online, so working with tons of different makers and producers in the Dane County, Wisconsin area, everything from pasture-raised meat, cheese, and dairy and eggs. We sell fruit. We sell pizza from Salvatore's. Ice cream, we sell ready-to-make meals, and of course, vegetables and mushrooms. You can now come straight onto the farm Wednesdays through Sundays, and you can buy it in our store.
Yeah, and it's a broad range of things, and breads, too, I notice. And it's all local, pretty much, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the focus. It's essentially a small, locally focused grocery store right on the farm.
Yeah, that is really cool. Well, what kinds of, talk about the produce that you grow on the farm.
Yeah, so we grow a pretty wide range of vegetables. We grow a lot of salad greens, a lot of tomatoes, peppers, radishes, turnips, scallions, kind of everything that you'd find that goes into a typical CSA. Salad greens has kind of always been one of our mainstay crops. It's what we started with, and we sell that to a lot of the restaurants. We also grow mushrooms in an indoor growing facility. That's something we started doing more recently. So we're growing shiitake mushrooms, oyster, black king, lion's mane, and maitake mushrooms.
Wow.
And we have, we're probably growing on about 7 acres, but it's pretty intensive turnover. So we're actually producing a lot of food on those 7 acres. And we have about a third of an acre or so under greenhouse production. So we use those greenhouses in the off season to grow produce year round.
So you're open year round?
We are.
Boy, what are some of the methods you use to extend your growing season?
Yeah, so one of the main things that we use is we use unheated high tunnels or hoop houses. They're kind of like a more simple greenhouse situation. So one of our big focuses has always been energy usage. So in the unheated tunnels, we don't heat the tunnels at all. We just grow cold, hardy vegetables, and we're able to grow them in the unheated houses basically November through March, just by selecting the right varieties and then using the right practices. We also have a couple houses where we do add a little bit of heat, crops that are a little bit more tender to the cold, and that just helps us keep a greater variety of crops growing year-round.
Oh, so you got protection from the weather. Our light situation isn't as good during those times of the year that you mentioned. Do you need to provide extra light?
We, in one house, we provide some light. It's where we grow our microgreens. We use light in that house, but in the rest of the houses, it's more about timing the crop growth right, because when you're growing in the fall or spring, crops take longer to reach maturity than they do during the summer. So they could take 3 to 6 weeks longer to grow to harvest time. So we just kind of plan accordingly, and they just take a little bit longer to grow. And by doing that, we don't have to add additional light into the system.
Yeah. Does the taste or the flavor change over time in a situation like that?
Yeah, I would say some crops are better tasting in the winter. A lot of people are familiar with winter carrots. So that would be carrots that have gone through like a frost-freeze cycle or multiple frost-freeze cycles. And a lot of crops will actually start producing more sugar because the sugar lowers the freezing point and it helps prevent the cell wall of the plant from bursting during the freezing process. And so the byproduct of that is a sweeter tasting crop. Other things like radishes are like really mild tasting. They don't have as much of the spice. So some people like the flavor of that more. Spinach can also be sweeter during the wintertime. We actually grow a new crop for us as we grow celery. And a lot of people think it's the best tasting celery when you grow it during the winter.
Yeah. And those carrots, man, those carrots are really good.
Yeah, they're something else.
Oh, they are. Jack emailed us. And by the way, you can join in if you have a question for Sean Kuhn. He is co-founder of Vitruvian Farms, and you ought to go online and take a look at the website. It's a dandy website, and you learn an awful lot about, well, pretty much everything they're doing there. It's Vitruvian Farms, and Sean Kuhn is the co-founder. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. You're listening to Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Sean Kuhn, co-founder of Vitruvian Farms, located in McFarland. It's great to have him with us, a certified organic vegetable and mushroom farm. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Grant emailed us. Grant says they're regulars at the Monona Farmers Market and always buy your shiitake mushrooms. They are out of this world.
That's awesome.
That's how much work is it to grow? I mean, it's got to be hard to grow mushrooms in some ways. I mean, and you guys didn't know how to grow mushrooms beforehand. I mean, how'd you learn and what's the operation like?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's like any other aspect of farming. Farming is not an easy thing to do. Growing mushrooms is completely different than growing vegetables. They have very different needs. The mushrooms that we're growing, they don't use sunlight for energy like plants do. They do use light for directional purposes. So the light kind of signals for the mushrooms on where to grow. We grow all of our mushrooms indoors in specialized fruit chambers. Once the mushrooms are fruiting, that's the part that we're eating. We call it the mushroom fruit. They need anywhere from 80 to 90% relative humidity. So there's constantly mist being added into the rooms to keep that humidity really high because mushrooms are mostly made of water. And the mushroom operation is a pretty intensive operation for us that runs all week long. The mushrooms can grow, once they're in the chambers, they can grow in 50% larger in one night. Oh. So they grow pretty fast. We kind of got into it just out of curiosity, and it was something that we were growing vegetables, and it was actually a couple years ago when we had torrential downpours in September. We had a really wet fall, a lot of flooding in the Madison area, and that was the first year we were actually hoping to have a really good fall harvest. And Mother Nature kind of came down against that, and we decided we wanted to grow a little bit more crops in a protected way. And since you typically grow mushrooms inside, we started pivoting a little bit more to increase our mushroom production. And the fact that we harvest and we're selling most of those mushrooms the next day, they end up being way fresher than you would normally find.
Yeah. Boy, I would bet so. Jack emailed us relating to mushrooms. Excuse me. He has a hobby farm and interested in growing mushrooms in shipping containers. Can you share your thoughts on that idea?
Sure. Yeah, we actually grow mushrooms in one of our fruit chambers is actually an old shipping container. The one that we're using was a refrigerated shipping container. So it's insulated and the inside is all stainless steel and aluminum. So something I would definitely recommend is looking at getting an insulated one. And then something you have to remember is you're going to be adding a lot of humidity and water into that space. So looking for something like a refrigerated container that already has waterproof walls would definitely be something good to do.
That makes a lot of sense. Renee in Green Bay has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Renee.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a raised garden bed I've been using for about 9 or 10 years, and I'm really intrigued with being able to do some winter gardening. Is there a way to add like a hoop device or structure to a raised bed in order to extend the gardening season for me?
Absolutely. What you could look at getting is either you could get some wire wickets, or you could get PVC or metal electrical conduit. With the metal, you'd have to bend it into the right shape. The PVC, you could just bend it by yourself, and you would stick it into the soil in the raised bed. And then you can either cover that raised bed with a sheet of like greenhouse plastic. It would be best to use greenhouse specific plastic because it's actually treated to not break down with sunlight. Otherwise, it will probably only last like a season or so. Or you can buy what's called row cover. A lot of garden centers will sell this, or you can buy it online at Johnny's Selected Seeds. And that's kind of a thinner material that actually has some breathability to it. If you're growing earlier in the season, you can get away with just that row cover material. And that's actually nice because you don't necessarily have to vent it every day because it does let some moisture through and it lets air through. But as it starts to get colder, maybe towards late October, earlier mid-November, if you wanted to continue growing, you would definitely want a sheet of plastic. And then depending on the temperatures during the day, like right now we're having a very warm fall, you'd want to roll that cover back to let heat out and then roll it back on during nighttime. And then some days where it doesn't get above freezing here and there, like right now we might have a day that doesn't get above freezing late October, you would just keep that cover on throughout the entire day. And I would say that could probably get you to last through mid-November, as long as you're choosing cold, hardy vegetables. So you can't necessarily extend the season on everything because some things are not going to get enough light. But if you're choosing vegetables that are suited for growing during the fall season, things like spinach, lettuce, kale, you could grow turnips, radishes, you could do beets and carrots and things like that. Those things can last without a hoop house with just a simple covering quite long into the season.
Renee, there's some good advice for you. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Bruce in Skokie, Illinois has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was in the Finger Lakes area of New York, in Naples, New York. And, of course, this time of year, it's everything Concord grapes. But I stopped at a farm, little farm thing, and they had onions there. And you asked the people running the register something. It was called candy. And they didn't know anything. You know, the kids running the registers don't know what they're, you know, they can barely tell an apple from an onion. So, but I did talk to the gentlemen that were apparently running it. And they said it was a sweet onion, and then they had a smaller onion, maybe 3 inches in diameter, and then they had a big onion that was about three times the size, and I think he said it was a Murdoch, and he said it was sweeter. Now, I haven't had time to taste the Murdoch, but I just took a slice. I just went out to the car, got an onion out of the bag, and sliced it and ate the slice, and it wasn't sweet. It wasn't like a Maui onion or a Walla Walla or some of the other, sweet onions. A Maui onion, you can eat like a peach or something. It's just, can taste the onion, but it's sweet. I was just wondering if anybody had heard of a candy onion.
Sean?
I think I have heard of them, but in all honesty, I wouldn't know what the variety would be.
Yeah, I said, do you grow onions on the farm? I didn't hear onions earlier when you were going through the list, but maybe I didn't hear it.
We have grown onions on the farm. We've done like Walla Walla onions and some storage onions years ago. We don't grow storage onions at this point. We work with some of our partner farms to supply those. One thing we do grow a lot of is green onions. And the green onions are another really good cold hardy crop. Those can actually last through a decent amount of cold.
Yeah, those green onions I've had in my garden. I've had the situation where there was some that I don't know, forgot or whatever, and the next spring they came up.
Absolutely.
And man, are they good.
Yeah, sometimes they can overwinter. If you get a good blanket of snow, they don't even need any protection and they'll start growing again in springtime.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, I haven't heard about the candy onion, and maybe somebody else has, and they could join in and let us know, send us an email or give us a call. We would love to hear more about that. Watering, for these people, anybody who wants to extend their season, is watering much different in the fall, later fall, as opposed to the summertime?
Absolutely. Like I said before, the main consideration is These plants at this time are growing a lot slower, and they're going to slow down as the season progresses. So as the growth slows, the amount of water that they need also slows down. So you're definitely going to be looking to water your plants a lot less frequently than you do during the summertime. And another big thing to consider is it's a really good idea to try to keep the leaves of your plants as dry as possible going into fall, because one of the things that happens with wet leaves and the cold is you can have a lot of fungal diseases attack the leaves of your plants. So you can get things like downy mildew or bacterial spots. So what I would recommend to anyone trying to extend their season is either to use some sort of drip irrigation, or if you're using a wand, try to water the soil and not the leaves so that the leaves go into the night and they're nice and dry. And if possible, some falls we have a lot of excessive rainfall. Something they can really benefit from is being covered, like I said earlier, with like a sheet of plastic or something like that. Essentially, the drier you keep your leaves, the greater the chance you're not going to see any fungal issues.
Luke in La Crosse emailed us, this back to mushrooms again. Luke's best understanding of how mushrooms grow was through watching a few episodes of Clarkson Farm in England with Jeremy Clarkson when he was growing mushrooms. It showed how fast the mushrooms grow as well as the fragility of the growing environment, and very interesting. And here you are growing what, shiitake, you've got oyster, you've got lion's mane. Is there anything else?
Yeah, we're growing maitake, and we're also growing black kings as well.
So do those, are they all kind of the same when it comes to the growing conditions, or do you have, you know, in light and or lack of and everything else, can they be? Go ahead.
These are all wood-eating mushrooms, so these are primary decomposers. So they're taking red oak sawdust mixed with either soy hulls or wheat mids, and they're breaking that down. So that material hasn't been composted, versus like a button mushroom is actually a secondary decomposer. So that's actually eating compost, some materials that have already been broken down one time, and then they're further breaking it down. Our mushrooms are primary decomposers. So they're all growing on a very similar substrate, and we grow them in very similar temperature conditions. They do have pretty specific conditions that they like to fruit in, and outside of those conditions, you'll start to see issues with bacteria or mold, or they simply won't fruit. So we have to basically maintain a temperature range. Most of them like it a little bit cooler, so it's growing in about 55 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit. And they have slightly, one to the next, they have slightly different humidity requirements. So some of our rooms are a little bit more humid than the other ones, but they're all relatively similar.
So, and you're obviously doing very well with the mushroom, well, with all of it. And this has required a lot of cooperation, and kind of took the bull by the horns, I guess, in getting involved with other farmers and other sources for your farm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the grocery store that we just opened on the farm, working with all the different producers and makers and farmers in the state of Wisconsin, that all kind of grew out of the COVID epidemic when we started our online store and our home delivery service. And we just thought it was a good opportunity to partner with other farmers in the community and help each other, support each other, essentially.
Well, it's been great, and obviously you've been successful even under some pretty terrible pandemic-like conditions.
We've been very lucky.
Well, lucky and hard work and a lot of education and learning on your part, and then passing it along to others. Sean, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I love your website. What's the address? I just typed in Vitruvian Farms, and it came up.
Absolutely. You can find us at vitruvianfarms.com. And then you can also find us on Facebook, where we put updates about things that are happening on the farm. Our farm store, which is located just outside of McFarland, is open Wednesdays through Sundays. Most days it's 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Sunday we go to 3. And you can also check out our website for ordering online, and you can get food from us and from other farmers and makers delivered right to your door on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Sean Kuhn, co-founder of Vitruvian Farms, our guest today. And quick thanks to everybody who helps make the show possible, Clara Neipert and Joel Padnott, our producers, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller.